This week's episode may be a bit of a surprise to most of you, and some of you may have a difficult time believing it, but the title is what the title is. Roll that intro. Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I am Rafael DiFuria. Happy, happy, merry, merry, whatever it is or isn't that you do or don't celebrate. This week, I want to talk about some of the reasons why I am going to be leaving Portugal. Because I think there are some things that are really wonderful about this country. And for the things that contribute to my reasoning, I don't want them to be misunderstood in any way, because I've come to really fall for this country and really enjoy living here. I do think of it as home now. And it's a really wonderful place that I would love to call home. But why I am leaving Portugal? Of course, there are many things that I do really enjoy here. I mean, of course, the people are wonderful, the food I do very much enjoy. I know not everybody is a fan of Portuguese food, but of course, Not Your Average Globetrotter, we got to talk a little bit about some food just to make sure that it is, in fact, an episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, to let you know that everything is okay. I can say that even though I don't often eat them, Portuguese salgados are very good, like the little bolinhos de bacalhau, or risóis de carne, or risóis de camarão. Those are some good stuff. If you don't know what they are, you are missing out. Come to Portugal, taste them. But keeping the lighthearted part of this episode aside, let's get into the nitty-gritty details here. The biggest thing that I would say actually makes it very difficult to consider Portugal as a place to remain is the cost of living. I've mentioned it in a number of episodes recently about how expensive things are becoming and how the prices are being driven up. I mean, it's very concerning, because what you're getting now in many cases, especially in the cities, in my personal opinion, I can't say that I believe that the value for your money is quite there. If you're speculating on the market and you're doing it as an investment, maybe, but I can't help but wonder what the market is going to look like over the next 10 years. Of course, across the globe, just the market is constantly been moving up and up and up, but I can't help but wonder, is there a bubble that exists? I mean, especially with some of the changes coming into place with the golden visa and NHR and blah, blah, blah. Are these things going to change the interest in Portugal? There was recently an article on, I think it was the Portugal News, where they spoke about that there hasn't really been any change so far in the interest in places like Lisbon, where even though the cost of living has been going up, it's still half of what it might cost to live in, say, like Paris. I can say that I think that article in particular was maybe jumping the gun a little bit, because I don't really think we've had enough time to see the effects of these changes, that there are still going to be the people that are interested in moving to Portugal, but there are also going to be a lot of people who just haven't done the research yet and are thinking, oh, vacation, but long term. But again, getting back to this cost of living here in Portugal, I do find it very concerning, especially when we're talking about like how much you actually earn. And then yes, the Portuguese government has said that the minimum wage is going to be going up and up year by year. But I can't help but wonder, is that just going to make things more and more expensive by pushing the minimum wage up so that businesses have to start paying more to the employees and all these various details, which I don't know. I'm of course not an economist here, but I would say that I do have some concerns, maybe because I don't fully understand how that side of things work. But I think just in a very basic way, a higher minimum wage, is that the answer, or is it a band-aid which could actually end up making things worse? Just a question. I'm not making a statement here. But especially for individuals who are building up their lives and looking at buying a first home, a first apartment, a first whatever it may be, the reality of being able to do that on a Portuguese salary, can it be done? Yes. But especially in cities, it's becoming harder and harder. And as we're seeing, even with inflation, yeah, that's definitely doable for some, but might not be for all. And so for people who are on a Portuguese salary, homeownership, I can't help but wonder how easy or difficult it might be to start getting in there. Of course, if you are a citizen of the country, you do get certain bonuses and benefits or certain ease of access to mortgages. But okay, 10% down instead of 20% down, yeah, that's still a significant amount of money. Is it doable? Yeah, but it's definitely something that I would say is going to be a part of the world where, based on what you earn, there's a certain complexity there based on how many people are coming from abroad and investing in local property. After having lived in Italy, something that I do kind of miss, and even though I don't go to the doctors that often, getting an appointment here on the public system, and again, like, I'm an Italian citizen, like, I have access to the public medical care in Italy, just as any Italian or Portuguese person would have that access in Italy. In Portugal, Portuguese and Italians have access to the public system here. And so that's the thing, like, paying into the social security system, paying taxes here, having actually being someone who is a contributing member of society and having that kind of access to the public systems. For me, I can say that I do have some level of frustration when dealing with some of those public services. For example, even I recently just had a doctor's appointment that I had to wait, like, say, 3 months for, get canceled the night before because the doctor was unavailable because they ended up getting sick themselves. A little bit of a problem when you have a doctor that is sick, so definitely understandable, but there was also no other staff that could take their place to fill in for them. So that was something that I did find a little concerning because, like, in Italy, okay, even though it doesn't happen as much, if at all now, when I, okay, prior to 2020, but my interactions with the Italian medical system was even going to your GP, that you just walk in, your general practitioner, your regular family doctor, you just walk in. Okay, not all doctors were like that. And some doctors you did have to make an appointment with. But even then, like, to get, like, say, a prescription, you walk in, you wait a few minutes for the doctor to come out and say, hey, anybody need anything just while I'm out here? It was sometimes as simple as that. And I did have those situations. And you didn't actually have to wait for an appointment. Granted, I will say, though, that the level of care here maybe is a little bit more detailed and that they do spend a bit more time with you as an individual. So while it might be more frustrating to deal with the system, it can be worth it. But it's just enough that if something happens and you need to have access to a doctor and you don't need medical services, but you need just kind of general services, it does make a difference. And on a completely separate note, many of you know that in the past I've had no interest in getting a driver's license and I've just wanted to be able to walk from place to place using maybe rideshare apps when needed. But I've gotten to the point now where I definitely am interested in getting a car, getting a license, and going through that whole process. And while Portugal is a country where it is much easier than many other parts of the world to be able to get the license in English or even actually doable at all, unfortunately, in the cities of Portugal, there can be quite a bit of traffic. And Braga, as I mentioned recently, has been dealing with a lot of traffic because of the roadworks being done on the main Avenida de Liberdade, kind of like the main street of the city. Granted, it's a temporary thing, and supposedly things should go back to normal after the fact, after they finish all of the roadwork. But it still, for the time being, creates a situation where there's so much more traffic in other parts of the city that it's really not even worth it. And even before all of this roadwork, there was still a lot of traffic in certain parts of the city. Getting in and out was absolutely a headache anytime during rush hour. So I feel as though that certain things like that might not necessarily be handled in the best way, even though, yeah, there are projects to continue and open and expand and all these different things. For the time being, to have a car here, to me, not ideal, especially moving into a point in my life where I do see car ownership as a necessity. This one may come as a bit of a surprise, but maybe not to those of you who've been watching longer, because I've for years spoken about avoiding expat bubbles and avoiding places where you will have too many expats around you because it's just too easy to fall into the bubble. But there's too many Americans or English speakers here in general. Granted, I have no problem with hanging out with Americans. I do hang out with some Americans and English speakers. I take no problem, no issue with it in its core. But sometimes when you're walking around and you hear Americans shouting and just being very American about things and being very brash and kind of making a bad name for everybody else, it kind of makes you, like, want to take a step back and apologize, like, Yeah. Sorry for those people. Not all of us are like that. That kind of situation. And even though Portugal can be a very nice place for somebody who is an English speaker, a native English speaker, or even second language speaker, if they're needing certain services and help with things, there are times also when even when just walking around, if or going into a shop or taking care of certain things, if you have an accent that's detected as potentially even being an English speaker, sometimes even other accents, the individual who you're dealing with may automatically switch into English. And it's like, I live in Portugal because I want to live in Portugal. I live in Portugal because I want to be able to become part of society and actually better my linguistic skills. Like, I can speak some Portuguese, but I don't feel as though I get enough of an opportunity to really use the language as much as I would hope. It's nice. I really do appreciate that people do make an effort. I've never lived in such a place where people make such an effort to be so welcoming. But at the same time, as somebody who's very interested in being in Portugal, it can sometimes get a little bit frustrating. I mean, of course, there are even places that I've been where I've gone into a store and the person said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak Portuguese. Do you speak English, or do you speak maybe Spanish or another language or French? I mean, okay, like, it's fine. But again, like, I feel like maybe I'm complaining about a very minor thing here, but sometimes it's a little too easy. And I would like to have the ability to learn the language on the street like I've done with other languages. Granted, even with that said, I still do have American friends. I still do have English speaking friends. And I do go spend time at some places where I know they do speak English, because those are kind of some maybe usual spots that I like to go to. But I would say when I'm doing kind of my daily tasks, to be able to get outside of that bubble is maybe a little bit more difficult than what I would like for it to be. And this is only just living in Braga. If I lived in Lisbon or Porto, I think it would be even much more intense, at least in this regard. The final topic, though, that I wanted to get into is regarding being a small business owner. As some of you know, I have a small business here, a company here based in Portugal. And this is not necessarily specifically about Portugal, but Europe as a whole, that in general, a lot of the systems don't feel like they're set up to benefit or help small businesses to be able to grow. And sometimes it even feels like maybe exactly the opposite, that even with how certain laws or certain taxation things are set up, that maybe even the system is a little bit against you. And so it gets a little bit frustrating when you know that there are other parts of the world where there are systems in place and taxation laws in place that actually benefit small businesses. And yeah, there are things that do benefit businesses here in Portugal and Europe, but it gets to a certain point where you have to consider what it is that you're investing your time into and how you can actually spend that time to grow, and what is the best for the health of your business, so to speak. And so for me as a small business owner, I do find certain challenges that make it difficult to be able to expand my business. Like, for example, if I want to hire somebody in Portugal, just the social security payments alone are enough that I wouldn't be able to pay the person's salary plus social security. Plus, even when it comes to salary, from what I understand, you have to pay, it's not just for like every 12 months of the year, you're technically paying 14 months because they get summer bonus and Christmas bonus. It's something along these lines that it comes out to be roughly 14 months of the year. So it ends up being very expensive for a small business, and especially a small business that's maybe just barely needing another person working for it. So I've had to look at other options to be able to maybe automate certain things. So in that case also, I can't help but start wondering, like, does that hurt the economy? Because I would love to be in a position where I could create a job or even a few jobs for people. But in a system where it's difficult on the small business owner and they have so much on their head, unfortunately, it's a challenge that can be difficult for many to overcome and even present challenges and barriers that you might not want to face and keep what you're doing below a certain level, and to make sure that maybe even in fact your business doesn't grow beyond a certain point, because then it's going to make your life a lot more complicated very quickly. There are parts of the world that even have 0% personal tax or corporate tax, or they have a high corporate tax and no personal tax, and it's, or a normal corporate tax but still no personal tax. And these are things that I think for a person who's at that point in their life, you need to realistically think about what is the environment that you are going to be creating your business. I mean, like, you would even think if you have children, for example, how safe is the area that you're going to be in? What schools are available? What systems are in place for care for your child, health care or whatever? And that goes for a business, because a business in some ways is like a child that you're raising, that you're growing, that you're trying to feed and make sure that it's healthy. And if you're in an environment that is not healthy for your business, is it really the best option to keep that business there? But of course, as some of you may have already been seeing, this video is not actually why I'm leaving Portugal. In fact, I'm not leaving Portugal. This, again, like a video that I made quite recently, would be the hypothetical reasons that I, or someone maybe in a similar position to myself, with the reasons that a person might have that they could be led to leave Portugal. I know there are some people that leave Portugal for various reasons. Maybe, for example, they leave because bureaucracy, or that things just, they miss their family at home and there's just too much that happens too slowly here. And even though these are some maybe some reasons that actually for me that I do find concerning about living in Portugal, I think there's actually a lot more about living in Portugal that is really makes it worthwhile to stay here. And so even with that other video, some of you guys know me by now that sometimes I like to have a little fun. And no, I'm not laughing at any of you. I just like to have a little fun, and I have to keep these videos even interesting for myself to have a little bit of a creative challenge. What would be the video if I were to want to leave Portugal? What would I actually say? So for me, this is also a little bit of a creative challenge to put myself in that position. This is not trying to clickbait or anything. It's for me, it's a kind of like I've given myself a prompt and I have to write a paper based on that prompt like you would in university. So anyway, of course, I really have to say that Portugal is, in fact, a wonderful place. I love living here. It's not for everybody, and I'm not selling it. There are many people who are very unhappy about people such as myself who have YouTube channels and talk about living in Portugal because they think people like me are selling it. Yeah, granted, there are people who are selling it. There are real estate agents who do use the platform and who use the internet, but I am not one of them. I am not here. I make no anything based on anybody moving anywhere. I am just a guy that is interested in talking about life abroad and sharing some of the realities. I think there's a difference between creating a piece of content that says, here are some of the pros and cons of moving to Portugal, and here, or here's why you should move, or here's why you shouldn't move. There's a difference between kind of pushing and selling versus creating the reality. And of course, this is kind of the main point of Not Your Average Globetrotter, is to share the realities of what it is to live on the other side of the world as an expat. So, of course, thank you all so much for joining me again for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and especially a thank you to those of you who help to make these episodes possible on a monthly basis through rafaeldifuria.com/Patreon, patreon.com/rafaeldifuria, or through the one-time donations, such as the thanks button here on YouTube. They all very greatly help this project to be able to continue ongoing. And of course, a very merry, happy, holly, jolly, whatever it is that you celebrate or don't celebrate. May the end of your 2023 be full of joy, laughter, and wonderful moments leading into a wonderful 2024. I hope you all stay safe and healthy during this season. I'm Rafael Di Furia, and I will see you all next time, next week, for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.